What's up, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of Between the Tackles. Seems like we are just pumping out the content. Love it. It is finally here, our Super Bowl preview episode. I'm here with my good pal, Manish. How are you doing tonight, sir?
I am pumped, ready to break down this game. I kind of think that we're going to analyze every part of this game. And at the end, I think we kind of both know where each other stands and how it's going to end, at least how we think it's going to end.
Yeah, this is going to be a fun one because, you know, like most of the time this season, we're on the opposite ends of the spectrum. And let's get into it. Before we start talking about the Super Bowl and, you know, the matchup, I want to talk about a former Patriots player, one by the name of Tom Brady, who came out with some comments this week on the Let's Go podcast with Jim Gray. And as a Patriots fan, I am sickened by this simply because I idolized this guy growing up. I idolized Tom Brady growing up. He was one of my first favorite athletes that I can remember as I was coming to age through my teen years. And he comes out and he says that he does not have a dog in this fight, in this game. And he says, may the best team win. It drives me nuts. Do you have any thoughts on this?
Look, I think that Brady just wants to toe the line here. You know, he is a part owner of another team, not in this game, but still he is affiliated with the Raiders. And I think, you know, not knowing Brady personally, I think if he had his druthers, he would probably refine his statement because there have been current and former Patriots players who took umbrage with that. I don't see any harm, frankly, in saying, hey, look, you know, I'm a Patriot. Everyone knows me as a Patriot. Yes, I have part ownership in a different team, but I hope they win. I don't know why he was hesitant to do that. Seems a little peculiar, to say the least.
You know, that's exactly why, because he played here for 20 years and his team is not playing in this game. And as a fan of the Patriots and someone who's been a fan of the Patriots my entire 36 almost 37 years of existence on this planet, I can't comprehend it. I mean, Brady's always been kind of that awkward dude, you know, talking at the podium, you know, you didn't really feel a human connection when you would hear him talk, when he would talk about his TB12 method, everything like that. He was a very hard player to relate to off the field. And this is just another thing to put into it. And, you know, I side with guys like Gronk, Vince Wilfork was on WEI and the local radio station up here in Boston today or yesterday, basically calling BS on it. He's like, if you're a Patriot, you root for the Patriots. You know, if the Patriots were playing the Las Vegas Raiders in the Super Bowl, much different situation, right? They're, you know, obviously that's not a possible scenario, but had that been the case, obviously there's a reason to do that. It felt far too political to me.
Yeah, I totally agree. I don't quite understand, again, what the harm is in saying, yeah, I'm rooting for my former team. You know, I'm not going to be wearing pom-poms, but if you're asking me who I hope wins, I hope it's the New England Patriots. And maybe he feels a need to be neutral because he's also, you know, a game announcer. I don't know. I just thought the whole thing was kind of weird. This is not on my bingo card of things that we would be talking about if you asked me a week ago, Tom Brady's neutrality when it comes to the Patriots, but here we are.
Well, we'll see what happens. Hopefully his old team does win this game. Let's get into it. The Seahawks and the Patriots. Manish, initial thoughts. Let me get your initial thoughts on this one. I think I already know where you're going with it, but let's hear it.
Yeah, we'll save the prediction for a bit later, but I'm excited by the matchup. You know, these are two teams that were extremely successful in the regular season, the number one and number two seeds respectively. So it's not as if you're dealing with a Eli Manning, New York Giants situation, a 9-7 team that got hot at the right time. And, you know, these two teams have pretty much been hot all season, and we can, you know, get into the details of what the level of competition was and things of that nature. But the bottom line is that they have been winning lots of games for 4 months. So it's not entirely surprising that they've made it to this point. You know, I think maybe one team got a little bit fortunate. We can talk about which team that is in this podcast, but I like the matchup a lot. You know, I like that there's no dynasty here. There's no Chiefs, no disrespect to the Chiefs. I like the fact that there's no Philadelphia Eagles, and this is coming from a Philadelphia Eagles fan, you know, going for a repeat. You know, these are two fresh teams, you know, Patriots in a different era were the evil empire, but not this iteration of the New England Patriots, and certainly not the Seattle Seahawks. I love the quarterback storylines with Drake May and Sam Darnold. I'm genuinely excited for it. I hope it lives up to the billing.
Yeah, me too. And obviously, you know, it is a Super Bowl rematch of 10 years ago with two different iterations of these clubs. You know, you bring up the quarterbacks. Let's start there. Drake May coming off, you know, we're recording on, I don't even know what day it is, Thursday night. Could walk away with the MVP, probably an outside chance that he is the NFL MVP, but he's going to be right up there as a finalist for that award. Seems like his injury, that this this quote-unquote shoulder injury that he's been dealing with, seems like for more than a couple of weeks now, that might have been aggravated in the Denver game. He's come out and said, I don't even feel it. I feel great. Obviously, he's going to say that, but like he's saying it confidently, you know, which is, you know, this has kind of been a little bit of a big story the past couple of weeks, at least around here in New England. A lot of people are, you know, commenting on it. You know, the Twitter doctors are out there commenting on it as well. But as our good friend Greg Bedard says, it's much ado about nothing. So, you know, I'm happy to hear that. On the flip side, Sam Darnold, you know, he did enter the playoffs with that oblique injury. It doesn't sound like that is anywhere near a factor to prevent any of these guys to play, you know, the top of their game in the biggest, under the biggest lights, so to speak. So definitely going to be interesting there. What are you looking for most out of Sam Darnold? He's your guy. What are you looking for most out of him in this one?
Yeah, well, first of all, I agree that I don't think these injuries for either quarterback, an injury in air quotes, is going to have any kind of tangible impact on their play. I don't even believe that Drake May's on the injury report. He's been a full participant these last several days. So that's a non-story. Sam Darnold's coming off arguably his best game in a big spot in the NFC Championship game with the oblique injury. So I don't think that'll hamper him as well. I mean, what does Darnold have to do? You know, I've said this now for a couple weeks. I don't think this needs to be a Sam Darnold production for the Seattle Seahawks to win the Super Bowl, just because of the way that they're built. Now, did Darnold play exceptional against the Rams a couple weeks ago? Absolutely. Does he need to do that again for Seattle to hoist a Lombardi? I don't think so, because this is a defensive-driven team. They are at this point, with no disrespect to Darnold or Kenneth Walker or JSN, they are at this point because of their defense. Now, Sam Darnold has made critical plays in key moments, and I think that that'll be necessary perhaps in this game, but I don't think that he has to carry the load simply because the defense has typically controlled games this season for Seattle. And also Ken Walker, who's now essentially a one-man show in the backfield with Zach Charbonnet out for the season with the ankle injury. You know, Walker played exceptionally well in the championship game. And I think that even though the Patriots have been stout, and I know you're going to, you know, bring up Milton Williams, and we can talk about that as well, but I think that Walker will take enough of the pressure off of Darnold so that Darnold doesn't have to do it all. So that'll be reflected in who I think is going to be the MVP in this game. But again, Darnold just cannot implode. And that's really as simple as it gets. Now, he's going to have to make winning plays. He just doesn't have to make a dozen winning plays for Seattle to take it home.
Yeah. And on the flip side, I'll talk about Drake May a bit here. Obviously in the playoffs, you haven't seen kind of that MVP Drake May that we saw most of the season. Obviously the competition was increased in the playoffs. They played a couple of three really strong defenses to get to the Super Bowl, albeit they didn't play against any real tangible offense. I mean, the offenses of those teams, you know, imploded on their own there, but Drake May, I think for him to have a real shot to be the Super Bowl MVP, who I think is going to be the Super Bowl MVP in this game. My biggest thing is hang on to the football. He's going to get pressured in this game. We know the Patriots' left side of the offensive line has been a weak point, specifically in these playoffs going against these top caliber defenses in Denver, in Houston, in LA. Drake May got hit a lot and he put the ball on the ground a lot. I know we've talked about that on previous episodes here where he's fumbled, you know, I forget the number, six, seven times in three games, and he didn't lose all of them, but he was a little careless with the football. And for me, it's going to be him hanging on to that ball, perhaps being a little bit quicker on his decision to escape or, you know, unload the football in a pass. So it'll be very interesting to see how the Patriots combat the pass rush, having now three games in a row where they haven't really been able to do much against it. And let's see what Josh McDaniels can come up with for the adjustment there. You know, defensively, you know, I'm going to bring up Milton Williams when you talk about, you know, stopping the run. I mean, the Patriots defense, not even just run defense, the Patriots defense in general, across the board, has been night and day better when Milton Williams is in the lineup. You know, I think it was for the first 10 weeks of the season. Again, talk about the competition all you want, but it took them a long time to allow a significant single rusher in a game. I think it was like 50 or 60 yards was what they held the first 10 games or something like that. I don't remember. I don't have the number in front of me, but it was a pretty impressive stat where they didn't allow a single running back to really rush or beat them, so to speak. And I think Milton Williams, Christian Barmore, Kyrus Tonga, the interior of that defensive line really, really is a difference maker for this Patriots defense and is what has caused them to kind of rebound after that kind of that lull in the middle of the season there. You know, in the past game too, Milton Williams, they're getting pressure up the middle. So Sam Darnold's going to get some pressure from those guys in this one. So the implosion factor is real. You better be scared there, Manish. The implosion factor is real if that defense gets home. You know, JSN is going to be an X factor, right? JSN is going to be an X factor. Can Christian Gonzalez, if they match the two of them up, can he cover him? He is the one that gave up that long throw at the beginning of that Denver game. And that was very, very scary to see. So I hope that Christian Gonzalez really is that elite corner. This game is huge for him because he's going to be due for a contract soon. And if he doesn't kind of have a big game in this big spot, you know, with the Patriots playing a lot of zone, maybe that Christian Gonzalez isn't necessarily going to be a fit long-term if he doesn't perform well.
Yeah, look, I think he's going to be a fit long-term, even if he has a bad game.
I'm just saying.
We rightfully started talking about the quarterbacks and, you know, everything stems from quarterback play. But I thought that, you know, what you mentioned after that is probably the real story of this Super Bowl. And that's the battle in the trenches, offensive line versus defensive line. And we'll start with Milton Williams' presence. You know, what I think is fascinating about how the season has unfolded for opponents when Milton Williams is on the field is that 81% of the Patriots' opponents' touchdowns have been passing touchdowns when Milton Williams is in the game. So for as much as I believe that Kenneth Walker can have a dominant performance, you know, the numbers don't reflect that. The numbers will say that Sam Darnold will throw for two or three touchdowns if you think Seattle can score, because that's pretty much what the script has been whenever Milton Williams is on the field. On the flip side, you know, as you mentioned, you know, Drake May has been careless with the ball. And it's an interesting storyline because, and you, as you know, Burge, last year he had issues holding onto the ball in the pocket. And Mike Vrabel, upon getting the job, made it a point of emphasis to say, look, this kid is really good. He's got to be more careful with the ball in his hands in the pocket. And by and large, you know, he has done that throughout the regular season. But because the defenses that they've played have been, you know, top notch, he's kind of reverted back in some ways to his rookie form and not taking care of the ball as well as he did this season. Now, what I would say is you hit the nail on the head in terms of pass pro for the Patriots. It has been shaky. It has not been good at all in these three playoff games. And Seattle presents an interesting challenge for New England because they're the only team in the NFL to have five different players in the regular season have at least 12 quarterback hits. So it's not as if you can focus on one or two guys, and they come with a lot of variety. And what I think is the most telling statistic when you're talking about trench play in the Super Bowl is that in the regular season, Seattle was a bottom five team in blitz percentage, but they were a top five team in pressure rate. So what does that tell you? That tells you that they get consistent pressure on the quarterback just rushing four players. And anytime you can do that and have seven guys in coverage, it makes life that much more difficult for the quarterback. So I think that is really the pivotal thing to keep an eye on when the Patriots are on offense. Can their offensive line withstand a four-man pressure from Seattle? Because by and large, opponents have had a lot of trouble against the Seahawks all season with that.
Yeah, that's definitely a real scary thing, especially on the blind side. You know, with Will Campbell for the Patriots and Jared Wilson, the two rookies, they have not looked good in the playoffs at all, going against guys like Danielle Hunter, Will Anderson, Nick Benito, you know, those guys that they faced. Khalil Mack, add him into the list too. They all had their way with getting the pressure there. And I think that puts a lot more emphasis on Drake May to A, protect the football, and B, get ready to escape when he needs to escape and not be afraid to pull the ball down and run. You know, we kind of saw that a little bit in the Denver game where he had, I think, 60 plus rushing yards in that game. I think you're going to need to see that type of game from him, where he may not have the time to hit all of these receivers, you know, as these routes come. Maybe Josh McDaniels schemes in, you know, one of his favorite things, you know, the screen pass, one of the screen passes to kind of get the line moving, get everything moving outside. I don't have any stats on how Seattle's been against that type of operation this year, but that is like the Josh McDaniels special. Nothing says Josh McDaniels like first and goal from the seven, here's a screen pass, right? From the days of Tom Brady. So that is absolutely a huge matchup. Probably the one I'm most nervous about as a Patriots fan in this game is Seattle's defensive line against the Patriots offensive line. No matchup really scares me anymore. I think the Patriots defense will be okay in this game, the way that they have played this season. And even in the playoffs, they're definitely going to face the best quarterback, the best offense that they've had to face in the playoffs. But I have faith in them, man. They've had this pattern for the season. It's not like they've had, real lulls in this season outside of when Milton Williams and like Kyrus Tonga, when the injuries got in. You know, if Robert Spillane's healthy and out there, if Harold Landry's out there, Chase on, you know, you have these guys out there, I'm very confident in them to keep this game, you know, winnable for the Patriots and not let Seattle kind of walk away with it like a lot of people out there really think is going to happen in this one. So for me, I'm going to be watching that one closely. How do you feel about the coaching matchup in this, Manish?
I think it's dead even, you know. I mean, obviously McDonald in his second season had established the culture last year, comes in with a new quarterback this year, and things kind of took off. It's not as if they had any kind of learning curve or step back. And, you know, we've talked ad nauseum about the job that Mike Vrabel has done and just, you know, setting a proper foundation and bringing the best out of really a lot of key players from a year ago who underperformed. So, you know, there's a school of thought about, does Vrabel have an advantage because he's been in these spots as a player? To that, I would say no, only because he's not on the field. So it's great. He's got the rings to prove it. He's got the pedigree, obviously, as a champion. But I think, you know, when you're on the sidelines, it's really not relevant. Both of these guys have established themselves as great, you know, leaders. Now McDonald's calling the defense, so, you know, there's a lot more on his plate than Vrabel. Vrabel obviously would have some hand in calling the defense, I believe. But, you know, he's not the primary play caller. So I like both guys. I think both guys, frankly, are deserving of being in the Coach of the Year conversation. 100%. Yeah, and then by the time you listen to this podcast, we'll know who the Coach of the Year is. Pretty good chance it's Mike Vrabel, and we'll see how it shakes out. But, you know, these are two of the better coaches in the league at this point in the NFL landscape. I don't think that one is going to make an egregious mistake in terms of game management or fumbling the timeout situation within the course of a game or making a dumb challenge. I don't foresee that happening. So it really is a push when you're talking about who's got the advantage on the sideline. I'm not really sure there is one.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing that I'm going to pull to is the experience of Josh McDaniels in the spot that can, you know, he's been in multiple Super Bowls with the Patriots in the past with Tom Brady. I think that he can really, really guide Drake May in that offense to, you know, be ready for the spotlight, be ready for the intricacies of the Super Bowl game with, you know, the longer halftime show, the whole to do for the anthem and the song, everything, the whole presentation, the whole entertainment factor that goes into it. I think McDaniel's experience can really draw from that. I also think that Mike Vrabel has the Patriots really embracing the underdog mentality, the road warrior mentality, you know, the Warriors come out and play. One of my favorite things I've ever seen. You know, I they're really, the team is really rallied around that, I would say, all season. I mean, you know, the whole slogan around here is we all we need, we all we got, right? You know, that is something that is not recent. That really started back when the Patriots were in Buffalo back in late September, October. So they've really been rallying around kind of that mentality of, you know, the underdog, right? So I think that that can really, really help them be prepared for this. They're a very young team. So having any kind of structure and grounding in the biggest moment of their lives for most of these guys to this point, I think Milton Williams is the only guy on the Patriots roster that's played in a Super Bowl before. You know, so that's big. And I think they're going to be ready for it. I do. That's gotta have something for you, Manish.
Yeah, I'm shocked that you think that they'll be ready for it. What I will say is that imitation is the sincerest.
The must win.
Yeah, a must win. Imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. So
I know.
We all we got, we all we need is completely ripped off from the Philadelphia Eagles team that beat the Patriots, by the way, with Nick Foles. That was a Malcolm Jenkins creation. We all we got, we all we need. It's what the Eagles rallied around after Carson Wentz was injured late in that season. So I'm really happy that the Patriots are lifting that from that Eagles team. So great, great to see that.
Well, the Eagles ripped it off from the Legion of Boom back in like the 2013, 2012. So don't be sitting here trying to tout the Philadelphia Eagles over here.
I mean, all I'm saying is that that's the most recent usage of that term. So it wasn't an original. I mean, obviously we know the Warriors thing is a complete ripoff. I mean, they're ripping it off from the Warriors. But whatever gets the team motivated, and this is what I say, you know, you're not getting points for originality. Whatever gets the team motivated. Now, what I will say now, though, is that it is, regardless of whether it's the Patriots or any other team, you're in the Super Bowl. There's only two teams left. How much of an underdog? I mean, we could talk about the Vegas line in a moment, but how much of an underdog are you? I mean, you're actually in the Super Bowl, so these are both deserving teams on that level. I did want to circle back real quick. We know we had talked about the quarterback bumps and bruises. There is one significant injury that cropped up midweek in practice. The second year safety for the Seattle Seahawks, Nick Emenwori, who's essentially their joker player, a chess piece, primarily a nickel defender, but really stout against a run, against the pass. He injured his ankle midweek in practice, and there was video of him going into the team hotel with a pretty significant limp on Wednesday night. So, you know, a few more days left to see, you know, what kind of shape he's in. But that's not something that can be discounted. I mean, this is part of this recent draft class in which John Schneider, the general manager, has been on a heater. Mm-hmm. I mean, they plucked this guy from South Carolina, second round. The guy's been absolutely dynamic. You know, I don't think it's going to move the Vegas line at all, but I do think that it's a fairly significant storyline that is broken during the course of the week. Something to keep an eye on, and something perhaps that, you know, Drake May and Josh McDaniels can take advantage of.
Yeah, I mean, I think I read that they're saying it's a low ankle sprain, which is probably the best possible news that Seattle could get on something like that. It's not a high ankle sprain, but he's definitely not going to be going in at 100% in 4 days into the game. So, or 3 days right into the game. So that's that has a potential to be a really significant injury. Wow. Industry. Jeez. I want to circle back to the underdog comment that you made. I mean, it's kind of hard. I mean, the Patriots, I mean, the whole, they're all out there in San Francisco. They're all listening to, you know, they're having all these media appearances, and there's no doubt they're hearing what is being said, you know, in the media, where I'm gonna put an estimated number that 90% of the experts out there are picking the Seahawks in this one. And, you know, that's underdog. You hear that, you can rally behind that and really get yourself kind of that, not that they need more motivation or anything like that, but really get you fired up in this, be like, that's why you rally around that slogan. You could say they ripped it off all they want. Like you said, no points for originality, right? So, you know, we'll see where it goes. And yeah, so Manish, just give me your prediction here. I already know what you're going to say, and I'm just going to go.
No, it's a good transition because I believe the Seattle Seahawks are the first team to receive 70% of the spread bets in Super Bowl history. So the line is 4.5. 70% of people betting on the spread are taking the Seahawks. They're giving the points to New England, which I think speaks to what most of the public believes is going to happen. And that's going to be, again, a game in which the Seattle defense is going to be too much for the Patriot offense. And look, the Patriots have lived a charmed life. We've talked about that, you know, for the better part of 4 months. You know, on paper, this seems like it'll be a close game. Neither team has lost any game this season by more than 7 points. I just think a lot of odd things happen in the Super Bowl, which works both ways. It's not just what I'm about to say. It could be the other side, which I'm sure you'll take. But I just think that Seattle's defense is unlike any team that Patriots have faced other than the Houston Texans defense. And if not for the implosion of the millennium with C.J. Stroud, the Texans would have won that game. So if Sam Darnold follows in Stroud's footsteps and has a game like that, I do see a path for New England winning, but I just think that's a little bit too much to ask. Darnold needs to play efficient football. He doesn't need to be the star of the game. And if that happens, I cannot see a scenario in which the New England Patriots are going to put up significant points against this Seattle defense. So ultimately, I think it's a game much like we saw last year, in which the Philadelphia Eagles defense completely suffocated Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, and the Chiefs offense. I think you're going to see maybe not as wide of a spread in the game, but I would be frankly surprised if the Seattle Seahawks don't win by double digits. I'm picking Seattle 31-17 over the Patriots.
Shocker. 2-touchdown win there. You know where I'm going with this. I'm sticking with my team. I'm taking the Patriots and the points plus 4.5, I think is where it's at now, although I think it might have moved. I'm not sure. I'd have to look again. But look, three of the last five have been decided by 3 points. So I have this, especially the way that these two defenses have played this season, the Patriots being, you know, healthy right now, and the way that Seattle has played all season. This Super Bowl to me screams a little bit of what 2018, 2019 was when the Patriots beat the Rams. It's going to be a low scoring, you know, grinded out running game type Super Bowl. I don't envision an offensive shootout in this one. And I like the Patriots to win in that type of situation, just based on, you know, Mike Vrabel and the way that defense is played. So I'm taking the Patriots plus the points. And I like this to be a 20-17 game.
Yeah, I mean, I could definitely see that scenario. You had mentioned earlier, Burge, that you thought the JSN would be an X factor. I mean, I think that if the Patriots win this Super Bowl, they're going to be giving Trevion Henderson so many pats on the back, because I think he is New England's true X factor. A rookie running back who's got home run ability, explosive ability, only played 4 snaps last week, or 2 weeks ago, I should say, in the AFC Championship game, which was a surprise to say the least. Ramondre Stevenson playing 60 of 64 snaps. Henderson was essentially a non-factor in that game, but I do think that because of his explosive ability, that Josh McDaniels is going to incorporate him more in this game. And all it takes is one, maybe two monster runs, and that can change the complexion of any game. So I would not be surprised if Travion Henderson makes his presence felt in this game. I can see that happening. Ultimately, though, again, I think Seattle is going to control this game. And when it's all said and done, I believe the Super Bowl MVP will be Kenneth Walker.
I think that's a you know, good bet if you think that the Seahawks are going to win. Now, with Travion Henderson, I think the main reason that he was not a factor at all against Denver a couple weeks ago is because he's not great in pass protection. You know, that Ramondre Stevenson is fantastic in pass protection, which is in that type of game that they had to play a couple of weeks ago, you know, with the way the offensive line was playing, they needed to kind of have a back back there that could pick up a block. And that's kind of my fear with kind of counting on Travion Henderson, is if the Patriots get out to a slow start and they're not able to establish the run, and you know, they're having to drop back to pass quite a bit and the pressure's getting home, you're not going to see much of Travion Henderson, because they're going to need to have that security for Drake May there. That's my only concern with Travion Henderson. I would love to see him more active in this game with that. So it certainly will be something else. I already told you who my MVP is going to be. It's going to be Drake May. He's going to make just enough plays to get the win. And they're going to, it's always a quarterback award. You know, I mean, this isn't Malcolm Smith, Seattle Seahawks, right? With him win defensive MVP. So all in all, I can't wait. I can't believe the NFL season is going to come to a close on Sunday. So like for me, like my favorite time of year comes to an end, you know, from September to Super Bowl season. And then we enter into the, you know, kind of the off season and everything like that. But Manish, it's always a pleasure to come on here and chat football with you. I hope that you enjoy this game, and I just need to hear you say it. Go Pats.
I hope it's a fun game. I hope I'm wrong in terms of how competitive I think this game's going to be, because ultimately, you know, I don't have a dog in the fight. Yeah, I root for Sam Darnold on some level, but I think that at the end of the day, I want to be entertained. I hope it's an entertaining game. I hope it's a fourth quarter game. I would love nothing more than to see one of these two teams and a player or two make a special play in the final minutes. That would make for a fun night for sure.
I will say the only way I'm going to be truly, truly upset as a Patriots fan is if the score is the result of what you're saying it's going to be. If they lose a close game by 3 points, like as a Patriots fan, I'm not going to be heartbroken over that, right? So I too want to see a really good game. It's what I really hope for every Super Bowl that I watch. You know, unless the Eagles are in it and I want them to lose. So enjoy the game.